Welcome back to another episode of Rethink Real Estate, folks. Today on Rethink Real Estate, we have Stephen Ryan. Now, Stephen is a specialist when it comes to the recruitment of independent contractors and then the retention, onboarding, and a few different things around this space. When I had an opportunity to meet Stephen and to have him on the podcast, I thought, hey, this would be a great opportunity. Interestingly enough, okay, is that in today's space in the real estate world, obviously there's the whole hype around building teams and recruiting and retention and all of that type of stuff. So that's where I thought that this would be a valuable episode. We go through and we refine a bit of process that's needed when it comes to onboarding and several other things when it comes to this space. Hopefully you enjoy.
Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. Stephen, welcome to Rethink Real Estate.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really excited today because, you know, there's an extensive background that you've got, and certainly some of the talking points that we've got for today really are some hot topic elements within the real estate community at this point, certainly. But realistically, give us the elevator pitch on you. Why should someone hang around and listen to the episode, and what's the journey?
Yeah, I have about 20 years of experience in direct sales, and all of my background is really just understanding the world of 1099 based recruiting, onboarding, training, and retention. So I started with Cutco Knives. A lot of people come from that space, and did well in sales. You know, Hall of Fame sales rep, and then from there, I just got into software. I taught myself how to code and actually launched a sales rep relationship manager, a cat herding, manager for reps that were Cutco reps. Okay. So the managers use it to manage all the reps out in the field. And so that was our first kind of like a first breakout in software. And then from there, we've just been working on all sorts of software for recruiting, onboarding, retention of field-based reps. So that's my background.
Do you know what? You've chosen a field where you're never, ever going to be out of a job trying to understand the world of a 1099 contractor. How do we recruit them, get the best out of them, build them, all of the different parts of this. I just believe that, you know, it's an interesting relationship that a business owner that has reps has with those reps, considering that, you know, the terminology I think that is used quite often when it comes to a 1099 or somebody on 1099 or an independent contractor is that, well, you're not my boss, so to speak. You know, like it's this really interesting and convoluted relationship that I think.
And it has to stay that way, right? Like when it stays that, in my opinion, when it stays that way and when the owner remembers that, just like the IRS remembers it, right? But when the owner remembers that they are essentially marketing and selling an opportunity to a type of customer. So I always try to reframe it when we're working with customers, or that you're trying to bring a kind of corporate hiring process and mentality to a process that's much more like a marketing funnel, a marketing and sales funnel. And so the recruit is your customer, and the recruit is purchasing your opportunity with their opportunity cost. Okay. So you are making a sale, except the difference in a sale is like, you don't make the sale at the point where they say like, I'm interested in learning about your opportunity. They can silently quit, or they can kind of sit on the sidelines through the onboarding process or the training process. And you're still thinking that they're in your funnel, but they're already out of the funnel looking at, you know, other opportunities. Right. And then you're wondering why this is telling the bad story of this. Right. But, and then you're wondering why, you know, maybe they weren't trained. They don't understand the role like you thought they were, or they're not, performing. It's because you thought you sold them way in the recruiting process. They're not hooked. So it's just about like realigning with that person, you know, over and over again until they're successful.
And does that sort of, that leads us into the first sort of topic that we'd love to talk about. And it's one of the main topics that, you know, sort of caught my eye when it comes to the things that you are an expert within, like the common mistakes when it comes to recruiting independent, you know, sellers or, you know, independent contractors. You know, I think that in the real estate world, there definitely is more of a relationship where you recruit somebody and you sort of just leave them to their own devices, and like it's, they either make it or they don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, and again, I'm generalizing because, you know, our company, we try to do a really intricate onboarding process that for 90 days, they have an independent person that holds their hand the entire way through, and they get independently and individually onboarded for 90 days.
Yeah.
But still there's this sense of that, okay, it's just pile as many people in and see who fits that mm-hmm. then creates this revolving door, and it creates this, I think that it creates this transient industry that just isn't well renowned at that point. So again, what are the most common mistakes that people are making when recruiting independent contractors?
Well, so I'm going to start with, like, I'll do some hygiene factor stuff, some actual, you know, procedural tactic type of stuff. But I want to start first with that mentality.
Mm.
So there's kind of like two camps in the mentality is, I can't affect it. There's either on or off. Either there's the right type of person or they're the wrong person. And either they're going to stick or they're not. They just need to see the opportunity. And that comes from kind of this chip on their shoulder, maybe from that person's onboarding experience from 10 years ago or 5 years ago, where it was terrible and they stuck around. And so there's almost kind of like this idea that, well, I will see how gritty they are based off of how terrible my recruiting and onboarding process is. And so we just need volume. And if we do volume, the right people will pop out at the bottom. And I think that that's a terrible, this is why I like to use the sales process, like sales, you know, process. That's like saying, because it really shows up if you draw a correlation, okay? If you draw a comparison. That's like saying, I'm going to have the worst lead funnel on my website because I only want the absolute high intent lead on my schedule. Okay. So almost like, no, I think we should probably more like focus on who are the best qualified to be my customers. And I want to have them and I want to court them and get them onto my schedule. Okay. So it's like this belief that people don't realize as they're recruiting that person, if they are the person that's already a mindset of, I don't want to work, you know, I don't want to trade dollars for hours, I want to make in outcome-based money, that they're not looking at four other opportunities.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're not thinking about that. So that's the biggest mindset breakdown, is that people aren't realizing that there are things, they're not being optimistic about the fact that they can improve their funnel, both as the hygiene factors, which are just, are you doing the right things to text them, nudge them, you know, make sure they're scheduled right, reminding them of their interview, doing all of the nuts and bolts stuff. But then are you also doing an amazing job of positioning your role with great content, right? You know, a great video initially, where you're signaling to the right type of person that you want them on their team.
So you're saying that because if we look at 99% of interviews, so to speak, or recruitment meetings, it's just this constant pitch around why we're better than everybody else, mm-hmm. like catering it to them in a different way and almost, you know, giving them an example of what their onboarding is going to be like and the support that they're going to get, you know, yes. is the nature.
It's what's in it for me 100%. So everything should be around, I'll give you a typical way we consult our, you know, companies that work with us to design their video. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is, maybe it's not the great example, but, you know, I call it the shotgun test. Like if you heard the, you know, at a bar, you would know exactly, if you know that sound, you would be exactly know what that sound is.
Yeah. Fair
and,
enough.
you know, maybe it's not the best analogy, but, you know, that's the type of thing you're trying to do. You're trying, when you have your initial introduction. So typically people will come in to a large funnel. higher up in the funnel. We recommend going higher up in the funnel and bringing more people at volume, and then doing a more aggressive filtering before they're on your calendar. But before you aggressively filter them, you've already resold them and positioned. So you've set the hook and they're excited. And it's right. you that gets to decide if you don't want them on your calendar or not.
And that right? probably and that probably leads into like one of the big mistakes then. Like if you're not doing that and getting them excited about a meeting with you through some way of precursor, is that then by the time you get in there, is it's this awkward interaction, like whether it's a Zoom call or whether it's in person, there's always this awkward interaction in the first degree where I believe people get more defensive than they get anything else. And it's probably the wrong type of tension in that meeting to begin with anyway. And it just feels bad.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, this might sound crazy to others, but you know, a lot of the, we work with a lot of companies in the D2D space, right? Whether it be solar, pest, home security, you know, some insurance, right? Trying to do more in real estate. And so what we say is that, you know, some of these videos, you know, the calm, confident a person talking about, hey, this is the type of place if you want to come and be different. This is the type mm-hmm. of place you want to come if you don't, you know, want to trade in dollars for hours, if you want your hard work to pay off, you know. And meanwhile, they're showing like a montage of the team doing the work, right? You know, you want a container for your vision, and this is that container, right. Okay? And you're really signaling to that person and winking that this is not the place for someone who wants to hide, okay? This is not the place for somebody that doesn't want to work hard, but it is the place, and we will support you really well and give you all the necessary tools if you want to be that person, if you want something more in your life.
Okay.
And so... that's the type of way it starts. And then from there, they actually start to weed them out. Do you understand this is 100% commission?
Yeah.
Do you understand that you know, typically I can't tell you have to work 40 hours a week, but our best, most successful people put in the time to make this, to be a success.
And this right? leads into this question that I've got sort of burning as you're going through this, mm-hmm. is that the is there some leading indicators of people that you know are just not going to cut it? Because like, again, there's the, for lack of better terminology, and forgive the terminology, there's the throw the shit against the wall method in real estate.
Yep.
Where it's just as many as you possibly can, you'll get some that stick. And then I think that the excuse that I've certainly used and the excuse mm-hmm. that the industry uses that, oh, I would have never known that that person was going to be as successful as them. It's about giving everybody an opportunity and a chance, mm-hmm. which is, I think, just bullshit for lack of process, really.
Yeah, it's a lack of process. You know what the number one thing that the mass recruiters want to see is – this is the largest deterministic thing, the biggest macro. I mean, obviously there's little ones. It's, has this person shown the ability to do anything hard or somewhat hard for a period of time? Well, that's it. I mean, some of the people you would initially go, oh, they're not like a high flyer. They didn't come from a great school. They don't have a great, you know, sales background. But they worked a night shift for, you know, a couple years at this place. And it's the context that they're coming from is like, I know how to work hard and that wasn't what I want in my life.
Wow. Right? That's really interesting.
You see what I'm saying? It's not, because they're the ones that are going to put in the work to learn the role. And that's actually honestly one of my, I'll just make this short, but one of my favorite things about working in this space is, I love helping companies that help people that maybe didn't come from, you know, a pedigree that can generate wealth from themselves, generate, you know, affluence for their family, and be independent, right? I love that. And so it's really not about, you know, it's really, well, the stickiness comes down to, have they shown evidence that they are not constantly being incredulous about something, but they'll jump in and they'll do the work to learn the role.
It's an interesting point. And I know that I've railroaded you a little bit from the primary beginning questions, what are the mistakes, but real, like leading back to that, I'm hearing that it's more so the lack of hype around the opportunity itself. Like Like, don't get me wrong though. Yes. Like it's a different world when you're employing somebody versus that you are giving an opportunity to somebody. Now, the opportunity, as you said, is the 1099, mm-hmm. the contractor, mm-hmm. the employing somebody. I can get somebody, so I can get somebody when we do an employment side of things. We've got to process ourselves when we're employing for a role through the company, mm-hmm. you know, where we're offering a salary. It might be bonus, incentive based, or whatever it may be. But it's always from a video perspective that they've got to answer video questions and in response to it to then see the type of person they are. I think that we can get a really good grasp of that person. And they will do that at the opportunity to be paid a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. With the real estate space, you could never get people to really do that unless they were absolutely brand new. Like if we were trying to recruit experienced sales reps or experienced mm-hmm. representatives, to go to them and go, hey, no, yeah, I'm interested in you joining the company, but you've got to do this interview process. Like it feels like maybe I'm looking at this wrong, and I'd love to get your guidance on this a little bit more, is that it's this over-promise to then under-deliver. Is the process of recruitment within somebody that's experienced that's already doing business,
yeah.
I think, that then mm-hmm. creates this bad relationship. Is that something that I'm thinking about differently, or is something that I...
Yeah. Are you saying they kind of shoot high? They, you know, you've seen more of it where they shoot for somebody that probably... They overpromise their role for people that already have experience.
Is well, yeah, it's kind of. Let me give you an example. Is that let's say that I'm even a team lead or something mm-hmm. just to associate it, not through to just the brokers of our real estate offices that are the business owners most of the time that are responsible for recruiting. Let's say that I work at XYZ company, okay, and working at it, and that is my company, and I'm trying to recruit from another brokerage where that agent is doing really good business. Mm-hmm. My only way to recruit them most of the time is to oversell them or undercut the other company in order to give them a better split, more money, all of those different things, versus actually giving them the pure benefits of the way that we can increase their business and all that stuff. The real estate industry has gotten to this point where it's like, no, like there's questions that come out of this, Stephen, now when you recruit somebody. It's like, no, well, what's my signing bonus? When that wasn't a thing 10 years ago,
it's been commoditized a little bit. It sounds like it's commoditized down into these little bits and pieces of, you know, versus oh, I see what you're saying. It's not being sold and positioned as like a holistic thing. It's another example, customer-based example. It's like somebody coming to me and saying, hey, fill out an RFP, fill out. I have all, this is my checklist. My whole team has gathered all the checklists that I want, you know, to come to onto your team. And if you can knock off all these, you know, features, then I'll use your product, versus how is your company going to help me get the outcomes I want in my business? Right. And I just think that is something that is allowed by the company that's trying to recruit. They start the negotiation tactic. They start the negotiation at that point, which is what are the little things you need versus like a higher level, like here's how we're committed to your outcome. Like what outcomes do you want? So for example, if I were going to do real estate recruiting, I would focus, and it's very easy for me to armchair. I'm not doing real estate recruiting, right? But I would start with like, what do you want? How many transactions do you want next year? Okay. What would it take, you know, for you to get to the next thing? How do you feel like you need to be supported to do that? Right. This could be a recruiting flow. Great. Well, actually we help you do that thing. So start with them showing you that they actually have an idea of where they want to go with their business, not take their two transactions from one brokerage and bring it over to you. Right, or they're one transaction. You see what I'm saying?
I do. There's an element of this as well, Stephen, where like let's say that we're reaching out to reps. Like let's say that they've got, no, I'm calling you. You work for XYZ Real Estate, okay? And I'm trying to get you to work for YZ Real Estate, okay? And I call you. You've got no intention. You've probably not even thought about even moving. Mm-hmm. Is there any triggers that you should probably use to get someone's thought process moving outside of just the financial remunerations or undercutting or all of those different things? Is there anything that like from that approach could work?
Yeah. I think that on an individual recruiting basis, I'm going to try my best here, but I have more companies that are recruiting people have no experience in that industry at all. So okay, that's where a lot of our experience comes from. And they do really, really well, which is surprisingly given how tight that industry is, like consular and stuff. Yeah, they are recruiting, you know, some people from one group to another, but most of their volume, I think, comes from new reps that have never done, you know, anything in the space.
Yeah, okay? Right.
But yeah. Back to what you're saying, though, is if I were going to talk to somebody about a 1099 based role and I was going to try to recruit them over, I would always start with the end in mind. And I would say, you know, hey, if you could wave a magic wand and get away of the obstacles that are stopping you from, you know, the growth that you want to, you know, create, I wouldn't start the conversation with like, why are you unhappy with your brokerage?
Yeah.
Because that's the wrong person in the first place. I want the person that feels like they can do more, not from an externality, but just unblocks of internal challenges.
Yeah, that's
a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very different frame. Let's go back to what you just said about the industries that you guys predominantly work with, because I'm a huge advocate for bringing new people into the real estate space and building them through. Like our mm-hmm. company, if you were to look at, you know, our top 50 agents within our organization, 45 of them started off with us as basically new agents and that have nice. Grown all the way through into That's being great. Business owners or our top performing agents. And that, I think that is one of the ways that we've chosen to compete as a brokerage company and also having a point of difference with our auction method. But that said, primarily, we're okay with doing the work to build them all the way through, having the onboarding systems and doing a little bit more of the heavy lifting. Now, a lot of people make the excuse that I don't want to do that because they're just going to leave me anyway and go and work for someone else. Mm, and it's like, well, hey, you know what? If they're not going to stay, then they're definitely not for you in the long term anyway. That's like letting go a little bit and just refining the process of bringing newer people in. What do you see as the greatest resource for the companies you work for of getting people that aren't currently in the space that they're trying to recruit into that space? Because I'm assuming that part of this is a conversation around 100% commission, you know, people that have been W-2 employees leading into the 1099 space. That's a pretty, like, that in its own right is a recruitment, regardless of the industry change.
Yeah. Are you talking about sourcing before getting into the recruiting process?
Yeah.
So, so there are companies that we have been working with that only do, they're not hitting Indeed, right? They're not looking, like, Indeed's great for maybe W-2, but like if you're looking for a specific type of person, I would recommend working with some of these companies like Allure Creative, maybe Sales Recruitment University. There's a couple others out there that do targeted social media outreach to people that match a persona that have worked out. Like they passed the firefighter test, you know, like the firefighter passed the test this way. And so the new person that comes in passed it like the previous firefighter, that sort of thing. So they're looking for a certain persona. And they are actually, we've partnered with these ones like Allure because they'll have companies come in and say, time out. You got us too many good sourced recruits, but we have too much pressure on our recruiting funnel. And we haven't dialed it in, so we have to slow down, you know, slow our roll a little bit because we just can't process through all of these people. And so, you know, we're kind of symbiotic in that way.
That's a really cool resource to actually know, you know, those people that get targeted, the types of people that have passed that firefighter test, so to speak. I think that the parts of, if I'm putting this together in my own mind, and sorry to be jumping around and railroading you in some of this, is that the sourcing, you know, if you can embrace some new people coming in and train them a little bit deeper, but it's really hyping the opportunity in the industry, so to speak. It doesn't become, you know, about this versus this company versus that company. It's hyping the industry more to speak.
Yeah, it's hyping the opportunity. Hyping them and hyping the industry. So this is my little spiel on this process of hype and aka belief building is, as companies scale, so as an organization scales, they'll typically scale individual departments or motions separately. Mm-hmm. So recruiting, onboarding, and when I say onboarding, I'm not talking about training and onboarding. I'm talking about just like the nuts and bolts of like badging that person up and, you know, getting their agreement, rep agreement signed and all that stuff. training, and they become separate little groups or separate people are working on those things, and they'll get efficient on that one department.
Right.
Their right. experience gets better and the rep experience gets worse. It gets fragmented and everybody thinks that they did their sale and then they're done. Yeah. So it's passing it off. This is why it's so nice to work with small company, you know, like small scrappy companies where the person helps you through the entire process of getting, you know, the product in your hands mm-hmm. versus just getting passed off to a bunch of different people. So it works the same way with reps. And so going back to what you were saying about people recruiting on commoditized numbers, commission rates, bonus offers, things like that. The other side of the coin is, what if you took all that energy and said, I'm going to build an experience from the very first time they hear about my opportunity, about my company, all the way through to they're talking to customers, you know, they have a license and they're talking to customers. I'm going to build an experience like the very first, that felt like the very first time I used Uber. I like to use Uber as an example. I don't know if you remember using it the first time, you're like, they thought of everything. I mean, the car comes up, there's no context. I just download the app. It's really easy to get going. The car pulls up, I get in. There's no anxiety around who this person's name is. I have their rating. I get out of the car. The tip is done, right? It's a yep. really polished experience. And compare that to maybe previous onboarding experiences you've had funnel experiences, like where you get an email from this tool and then a text from this tool.
Yeah.
And then a text from someone says, don't touch that yet. Don't start adding yourself to that until you do this. And it's a mess. It's just a mess. And you don't feel confident, right? The problem is our tenure is just trending downwards.
Right.
So much of tenure is trending downwards. We don't have the 35 years at Boeing anymore, right? And so if your tenure is going down, then give you a competitive edge is making it easier to rinse, repeat, adding people to the team, right? Your opportunity becomes more valuable because it's so much easier to launch that opportunity, like give the opportunity to somebody. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. I can really see the gaping holes in any of our process. And I think that we're really buttoned up with our onboarding, but then you start to talk about it from the sense of that. It's like, you're right. There's one department that messages them and then says, don't touch that until you do this. And it's sort of like at the moment that you get the confusion is the moment that it just erodes confidence that they made the right decision in the first place. You know, I think that anybody can sell somebody on coming and working for them and the opportunity at hand, really, you know, if there's enough hype around it, but you've got to lead that confidence all the way through that. I guess
all the way through the process.
I guess that the support feeling once mm-hmm. they are on board and they're going through that process, and then the getting them engaged into the training world, the support once they're in the field and once they've joined the team and they're out there doing the things, and then the training and getting them more engaged in that side of it. Because I think that there's an element, certainly in our industry, that people skip the training side of things because they're too concerned about where is the next deal coming from.
Okay.
I think that how do you get them more engaged? Describe that.
They're concerned about training. They're concerned because of the next deal coming. Can you unpack that a little bit more?
So ultimately, let's say that there's a training that somebody can attend, right? Mm-hmm. There's like, you know, it's not mandated. It's just, you know, how to prospect, how to farm, how to mm-hmm. whatever it may be, the fundamentals of your business.
Yeah.
A lot of people will bypass that and just get tied up with the busy work, so to speak, because they're worried about, well, where is my next transaction coming from, right? Mm-hmm. Versus I need these skill sets to then look further down the road. I think that the narrow-mindedness or the lack of depth in thinking in a 1099 or a contractor, mm-hmm. like here, give you an example, just to sum up our industry, Stephen, is that when I came from Australia, in Australia, real estate is done at an incredibly high level. The average income of a realtor is over $350,000. People bypass university to go and do real estate at a young age. It's a hyper-competitive industry. It's just, you're seen as like an elite performer if you can make it in that world. Where I sat down with an immigration attorney here in the US when we were planning on coming over 10 years ago, and the guy goes, what's your job? I'm like, I'm in real estate. He's like, no, what's your real job? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, there is actually no category in any of the immigration department that I can select real estate as a category of you working.
Really?
Yes. So this is the industry where if you were to get 100 realtors within mm-hmm. certainly Southern California, where predominant of our real estate are, you know, there's at least 50% of them, at least, probably more 75% of them that do it as a part-time job mm-hmm. or have their license as just another onset.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
This is so cool that you brought this up. So there are companies where they'll cut reps that don't, even if they're 1099, even if they're making transactions, because they don't want to hurt their culture. They don't want to change the expectation. Maybe that's in real estate too. Does that exist in real estate where?
Not really. And again, I'm going to have people on the other end of this listening, screaming, going, oh, I do that. And I don't let someone hang on my team, whatever it is. But it's kind of bullshit. Like everybody just lets someone hang around until they choose to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, I actually used to, in Cutco, I used to sell engraved Cutco, right? As a, real estate gifts.
Absolutely.
That's a big thing in Cutco. And, sometimes like the agents that were at the broker meeting were not the agents that were doing business, right? They enjoyed being there, but I really had to hunt down the ones that were, producing, right? But that is to say, the thing that I've seen, it goes back to context creation and expectation. So a lot of these companies, when they build out their training, they spend a lot of time on expectations and what this, like, here's what our team is about. Here's what our team is going to look like. They show them teams. They have testimonial videos from reps talking about, here's an example I love to share. Tier one manufacturing company has a problem with recruiting entry level people coming into the company. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then quitting on day two. And they quit because one, they were sore from being on the line. Their hands and arms were sore. And two, they didn't like that feeling of feeling like they were holding people back because they were slower than the other people on the line. Okay. Right. So from offer letter, we went back up and said, let's build a belief building campaign. I'm going to tie this back to what you're talking about here in a second, but we build a belief building campaign where we are going to have simple selfie videos where we walk around to people on the line and say, hey, tell me about your first day. Talk about the soreness.
Hands. And, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I was really sore after the first day, but it goes away after the third day and you adapt. And I'm totally fine. And I was anxious. I was frustrated. But everybody was so patient and kind, like it was no problem. Okay. So let's translate that to how you build a team where, again, this is not about like, I got them in on the team. Okay. It's like, how do you extend recruiting to not just recruiting, but how I want people to think about being on my team, 3 weeks from now. So let's say we go around and say, hey, look, I know that it takes time to learn these things that you're going to use 3 weeks from now or 3 months from now, like this training. Okay. But tell me more about why you chose with your time to invest. And I'm saying like, you're doing this with another person tell me why you spent the time to invest in this and how has that played out? Do you think it was a good decision? Yes, it was definitely a great decision because X, Y, and Z. So when I say training, I actually say we're marketing. We're marketing to position how I want this person to behave. And it's really not about the nuts and bolts of it is about the training. You have, at some point you have to talk about the what, but people leave out way too much why.
Yeah, like the positioning well before the how. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Well, so I guess that, to round this out, I think that I want to just quickly, talk about the process after they've come through the funnel, they've said yes, all of the onboarding's going well, we've streamlined that. What's the retention here, Stephen? The retention element, is that similar to what you're talking about? But the retention is a big play within the community of real estate because there is so much chopping and changing.
Yeah. So when I think about retention, like what are the, tactics or strategies in retention, right? So one is, are you kind of doing one of these when it comes to actually engaging your, I use a lot of customer translations, right? But I don't want to turn a blind eye to maybe a customer who we haven't heard from,
yeah,
right? I want to engage those people with messaging from the leadership. I want to engage those people with polls or stats trackers, like little Fitbit apps, like on a scale from 1 to 10, how confident you are in your ability to get referrals on a scale from 1 to 10, like send in these little micro surveys, right, to your team. And as your team grows bigger and bigger, you need a better solution at doing that. Mm-hmm. Based on how they answer, cut them off at the pass and have an intervention, right? Don't wait for them to churn out of your team.
Right.
Right. Find and build systems that you shouldn't have to manually remember to do that automatically put these touch points in where you can start having, you know, good conversations where they, okay, looks like you're having a challenge here. Let's schedule a meeting with you and, you know, your upline or, you know, you and me. The other thing about retention is I commonly see this kind of, training is clean when it's a new person that has no experience because you know exactly what they need.
Yeah.
To train. Where retention gets a little bad is, or challenging, is when you have this mishmash of the brand new recruit that didn't have any real estate experience that's now in, you know, his 6 months mark or her 6 month mark. And then you've got the veteran guy, right? Or the veteran gal that you still want to retain by making sure that they know the new thing. Like they know, right, the thing about your auctions platform.
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, but like every once in a while you just go to, this means that I have to do the common denominator training. I call it like the milquetoast training. I have to send out some training that won't make the veteran person roll their eyes and won't go over the head of the person that's brand new. Yeah. Have you had this experience?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So what we do is we call it right size training. This is, it really helps with retention. You can send out like an adaptive training experience where you throw out softball and hardball questions to build a profile on what they know about that role, about that thing. If they don't know anything, you take them down the you know, like brusher up course. If they score really well, take them straight to the new stuff.
Yep.
So it builds learner trust with your veterans because they're not like, oh, you're wasting my time. And they actually want to engage. And so many times the veterans are left to just do whatever they want to do, right? And they're not given they don't feel like they're getting fed from. And that's what breeds, in my opinion, that feeling of not being fed by my brokerage, mm-hmm, is what breeds that kind of mercenary, like, I'll just go wherever because they're not really additive beyond these numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That's really good insight. That's really good insight for people to understand. And I think that it's given us some real things to think about when, you know, there's such hype around the real estate community about building teams, you know, because a lot of people that are listening to the podcast, they'd be individual agents, you know, they might not be thinking about recruiting a team, but they think that they must because it's the new thing to do. And you know, for the brokers that are listening as well, it gives a great deal of thought process to, I really believe, the recruitment side of things, and then also the onboarding that happens with them as well.
Can I give you one more tip? I'm just going to put this here, a tip for building teams. You know, there's always like sourcing new people onto the team from outside of the team, but my biggest suggestion for recruiting, some of the companies like Cutco and some of the other companies do more recruiting through personal recruits, like one person on the team recruiting another, than any other source.
Right.
And maybe that's the same way in real estate. I don't know, but
yeah, it can be.
Yeah. So the goal is to make it as just stupid easy for somebody to sneeze the opportunity. Mm. You shouldn't be putting so much, I'm not saying you do this. One should not, make the person, let's say I have a conversation with you at a coffee shop about, you know, real estate and you have an interest in getting into it. I shouldn't really have to explain the role to you and then set up a reminder or use my Google Sheet or use my phone as a way to remember to follow up with you and then make sure to connect and all that. You're doing the job of real estate, let alone team building. And so then you get busy. and you're working like a few deals and you, those people fall away and then the interest is not captured, right?
Yep.
So you want to give your people the tools, like a very, very easy way to do a lead behind nurture sequence for them to nurture that potential prospect and still get credit for it.
Right.
So is that something that you see a lot?
Yeah, there's a great deal of opportunities for people when they're recruiting to then get revenue share based on the person that they brought on and things along those lines within the industry. And I think that it's something that if you think about it, is how are we enabling our people in order to recruit for us on a regular basis?
Yeah, making it super easy. I mean, getting the messages go out, maybe inviting that person to an event. All of that should be just done in the background, and I shouldn't, as the person that told them about the role, in my opinion, shouldn't be on me, because I'm not an expert recruiter. I just know what real estate did for my life, and I'm going to share that with you, and then it should just run in the background.
No, that's such a great point. That is such a great point indeed. Well, again, I think that the insights on the episode have been really helpful. I try to end out the episode with any of our guests, and I'm trying to do a better job of making sure I do it for each one of them, is talking about them individually and personally for like life hacks, podcasts, books, things like that from an individual perspective. Stephen, is there anything that you can share with us from a favorite books, favorite podcasts at the moment, you know, where you get your information from?
Favorite books, favorite podcast. Okay, so I've got one right here. This is a great book. I really enjoy Simple Numbers. This is Rule of Smart Scaling. This is from Greg Crabtree. Okay. So great for brokers probably too, thinking about like return on invested capital, and really understanding like how do you grow? This goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. How do you grow your brokerage and invest more and make profits at the same time. So,
right. So what was the name of it again? Sorry.
Yeah. So it's called Simple Numbers 2.0. It's actually a follow-up book to Straight Talk, Simple Numbers, Big Profits is the other book. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. No. Great. Excellent. I think that's certainly something that that's beneficial. I'm gonna put that. I love the numbers side of it. I think that's fascinating. Anything from a podcast perspective that you listen to on a regular basis to keep up with anything? It doesn't need to be in your space. It can be anything at all. Anything that you enjoy.
Just your podcast. I don't have any other podcasts. So I don't have any others that I've been listening to a lot, just because. I just haven't had the time actually.
No, that's fine. Know,
for podcasting. So it's either audiobooks or books lately.
Yep.
Got a few app recommendations.
What do we got? App recommendations?
Causal. It goes hand in hand with this. This one here. If you want to think about a really cool way to calculate, like what it'd be like if I had like 100 new, you know, reps onto my team.
Yep.
It's called causal.app, causal.app, causal.app. It's like, you can bring in, it's like if Google Sheets and QuickBooks and like a little like calculator, like had a baby, you can make really cool, it's basically like a crystal ball for your business, right? You can kind of build out the forecasting really easily and say, if I change that number to this, this is what would happen, right? If I wanted to build a team and added this, this is what my commissions would look like, you know, down the road, right?
It's very cool. Very cool. New question that I haven't asked many people. Any favorite Netflix or any series that you're watching at the moment or that you have watched that is your absolute favorite?
Right now I'm watching the Rest of Us, the one on HBO, about how fungi takes over, like cordyceps take over the world, right? And it's pretty fun. I'm really enjoying that. I you know, if I'm watching some fantasy stuff, it's like that or Silo. Silo is a great one on Apple. So
right.
How about you?
At the moment, I'm back into the Breaking Bad situation.
Ah, yeah.
Rewatching Breaking Bad on Netflix, primarily because I'm training for a marathon and I'm on the treadmill and on the Peloton, they've just recently added Netflix. So I need something that's got a whole bunch of episodes.
Yeah.
So I can just go through them.
I tried to get my wife, like I'm trying to get her back in, try Breaking Bad. I watched all of them and she's like, honey,
we
gotta
slow.
Watch
it. It's slow.
It is really slow to go. It really starts slow.
Yep. Like it's funny though, like when you're doing something, like when you're running on a treadmill whilst you're watching something, there's two things that you absolutely, you know, you definitely watch more than anything else, is that first is how shaky the camera is, because it puts you off. Okay. Second is, it's like, get to the actual point. Come on, let's go here. Like, I'm the type of person that needs something to come to a conclusion quickly. So anyway, but that's it at this point.
There's one episode in Breaking Bad, I think they called it like the wasting time episode, where like fourth season or something, they're in the basement of the, and it's, the whole thing is about there's a fly in the episode. It's just slow. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know the one you're talking about. Absolutely. Walter's trying to get the fly and he's spending all his time. They put all the sticky things from the roof. And
yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Crazy slow indeed. Stephen, thank you so much for being part of Rethink Real Estate. Great episode today, and looking forward to hopefully continuing our relationship further with helping people build their teams.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks for having me.
So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.